Everyone, it's good to see you all here. It's been a good week for myself. I've got a message on my heart this morning, which is going to, you know what, press in this morning. Just listen. Listen to what God might be saying to you today. We're going to go to some deep places. We're going to go to some slightly dark places, but God is, I believe, with all my heart, he's going to say something for you this morning, something to you. And I think it started off with that very first song. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. What does that even mean, that he's in the waiting? Let's think about that this morning as we go into God's word and look into what God has to say for us. In fact, I'm going to pray. Father God, I just really sense and believe your spirit is here. I know you are here. But Lord, I believe that you've actually got something to say to us this morning. So we want to all give you permission, Lord, to speak down very deep into our souls and very deep into our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's been a bit of grief this last couple of weeks as we've noted the passing of Billy Graham, the great evangelist. And a number of people were showing photos of his funeral and different things that had happened and celebration of his life. Of course, one of the things that Billy is famous for saying, when you hear news of my passing, don't believe it. You know, I've gone to heaven and you know, you don't have to be too sad because I know where I'm going. In fact, I was playing squash with some guys this week and we had a bunch of them aren't, they don't go to church and one of them does, and he was talking about a couple of funerals he'd been to the last couple of weeks, and he was just saying, and the exuberance was in his face, you know, I love a Christian funeral. I love a good Christian funeral. That's a bit awkward to say, isn't it? But I think it's true. You know, a good Christian funeral where you know the person is going to be with Jesus and there's no doubt about where they're going. I mean, that's a cause of celebration right there. One of the things, criticisms, because, you know, when someone passes away that was so well known as Billy Graham was, some criticism comes. And one of the things that he was criticized for was not doing enough. He was obviously, you know, a man of the 50s, a man of the 60s in America at a time when racial inequality was rife. And one of the worst places that it could be demonstrated was, of course, in the church. You know, where you had churches where you needed to be of a certain color to be a true member of that church. And there was segregation, inequality in the churches. And some people criticized Billy for not doing enough to, you know, confront that. Oh, we need to be careful with people in history, because all of us, and hear this for yourself, all of us actually have blind spots. All of us are products of our time. And he too was a product of his time, even when it came to that issue. But let me tell you a story, and this is a true story, about something that happened with Billy at one of his evangelistic rallies. Just as an aside, it'd be very interesting to trace the spiritual lineage of all of us here today and see if any of us, and I think many of us, would actually trace our spiritual ancestry, if you like, back to a Billy Graham crusade. What I mean by that is perhaps your grandfather, your grandmother, perhaps even you were at one of those rallies, and because of the response that was made at one of those rallies, you now are here in this church. But there was at one of those rallies where Billy comes along. It was pre-organized. He comes into the arena, into the auditorium, if you like, and he sees some ropes. And he says to the usher, this is a true story. He says to the usher, what are those ropes doing there? And the usher says, well, there, that section over there is for the blacks. And this section over here is for the whites. And Billy says, those ropes need to come down. You need to take those ropes down. And the usher refuses to take them down. True story. You can Google this on your phone. And Billy says, they need to come down. The usher says, I'm not taking them down. And Billy says, well, I'm going to take them down. And take them down he did. And the usher reportedly actually left the auditorium, could not stand to be in that place where there was no segregation. I don't know how he's going to go in heaven. It's going to be difficult for him. But Billy's reason for that, and the reason he said that, was because the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is for everyone. It's irrelevant whether you're man, woman, child, We're amongst friends, black, yellow, white, and every shade in between. It's irrelevant. The gospel, the good news about Jesus is good news because it's for every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And the problem with segregation, particularly from a white context, is newsflash, Jesus was a dark, olive-skinned man. He chose to come to this earth in the form of a dark-skinned, olive-skinned, black curly hair, probably crooked nose. In fact, the Bible says that there was nothing in his appearance that we should find ourselves attracted to him. Wow. He wasn't Charles Heston. He wasn't blonde-haired, blue-eyed. He wasn't rugged good looks with a square jaw. He was a dark-skinned, olive-skinned man who probably would not be welcomed in some churches even today because of the colour of his skin. Now, how ridiculous and how silly is that? But see, the good news is for every tribe, every tongue. And that's the great qualifier about it. And the reason for that, it all goes back. And in fact, I want us just to think about the fact of where our worldview as Christians come from. Why do we think the way we do? Why do we think the things that we do? Why do we approach the world the way that we approach it? Or it becomes from the scriptures. And I've got a reading here from the book of Genesis chapter 1. And I love this scripture because right at the very start, before there's races, before there is cultures, before there's all different types of people, before the Tower of Babel and the distribution of all the languages, here was God's foundation for the world. This is the distinguishing feature that separates humanity, you and me, from the rest of creation. And it has nothing to do with your race. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has nothing to do with your socioeconomic background, your cultural background. It has nothing to do with whether you eat meat or don't eat meat or will eat pork or don't eat pork. No jokes. God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." Now that's a pivotal verse that you are actually made in the image of God. You are made in God's image. And it's very important to understand what that actually means. Does that mean you physically look like God? Well, no, that's not what it means. As we go through the rest of the scriptures and we understand what this actually means, is actually that you have the ability to connect on a spiritual level with your Creator. You actually have within you the capacity to connect with God. That is the good news that Billy wanted to preach. And that is the good news that is established right here from the very start. They'll reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth and all the small animals that scurry on the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. There's no distinguishing there between male and female in terms of being able to connect with God. There was a book written once, What Happens When Women Pray, and I understood the reason why it was written because there needed to be perhaps a little bit of a pushback in that area. But understand and know this, that there is no distinction before the throne of God. You are a human being. You are made you. Hear this for you. You are made in the image of God. And where it says in Hebrews that you can go boldly into his presence, that's actually speaking to you. You have the ability to connect with God. It's not just the pastor on stage or someone strumming along nicely on a guitar. It's actually you that have the ability. Do you hear that? Do you understand that? You are made in the image of God and you can connect with him. That is a distinguishing feature. And that is what sets apart the human race from the rest of creation. And it's not for one nation. It's not for one tribe. It's not for one tongue. It's not for one culture. It's not for one time. It's not for one gender. It's not for one age. This is God's decree that you are made in the image of God. And we all trace our human ancestry back to Adam. Back to Eve. This is the worldview that we take as believers. Therefore, every single person can connect with God. The scripture goes on. For you are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. This is in Galatians, the book of Galatians. And all who have been united with baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promised Abraham belongs to you. Let's just leave that scripture on the screen for a moment. I just want us to think about this scripture. You see, Paul was writing to a people and to a time, to an age where there was this separation in the church. Christianity obviously was birthed out of the Judeo faith, the Jewish faith, and it encountered some issues as it's seeking to send the good news out to all the earth. And so Paul writes this in Galatians to make it really very clear that in the church there is to be no inequality. We all come before God. All who've been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. Some of you here this morning, maybe consciously, maybe subconsciously, you seek to disqualify yourself from being able to connect with God at a deeper level. You actually do that because you think, well, I'm not this and I'm not that. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I didn't have good examples when I was a kid. I don't fit in here. I don't fit in there. I don't have enough money. I don't ever seem to be able to fit in. In fact, when I walk into a crowd, when I walk into a place, I feel awkward. Even coming into church, sometimes I feel out of place. I wonder if you've ever felt that way. That you want to belong, but you struggle to believe actually you can. Here's the thing about inequality. All through ages, people with power have sought to put themselves above other people. And that's happened even in the church. But that's not where it's meant to happen. It's never meant to happen in the church. When you come into this place and when you come into a group of believers, understand and know this, that when we kneel before God, he doesn't see your colour of your skin. He doesn't necessarily even see your history. He knows your name. He knows the hairs on your head. And he sees you as his child. I love here how it says in this scripture that we are children of Abraham. You are true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. Don't you dare think that for one moment this scripture was written back to those people in this day and it doesn't apply to you, because it absolutely does. All of us that are believers share and trace our history back to this story. This is your story. You are part of this story. You're part of this journey. You are a true son, daughter, child of God. Throughout time, and as the world faced great inequality, many Christians have actually stood up and said, you know what, enough is enough. One of the most terrible times in the world history was when slavery, particularly in the UK, was rife throughout the world. And different people stood up and spoke against that. When you see inequality, when you see someone being treated in a way that they shouldn't, merely based on the colour of their skin or where they've come from, something rises up within you and you may sometimes actually feel like, well, what can I possibly do? There was a lady called Hannah Moore, and she was a poet. Some of you who have been watching the Jesus Game Changer video would have heard her mentioned on those videos. And she was a poet. Now, what's interesting about poetry back in the 1700s was actually it was like modern day songs. She was actually a very influential person. And she wrote this poem, born out of her Christian faith and born out of her desire to make a change. How could writing words on a piece of paper change anything? But the important thing to understand about Hannah Moore was she was part of a movement that actually brought that incredible inequality, slavery, to an end.
If heaven has intervened, deign to call my light on liberty to shine on all. Since no resisting force from spirit flows, thy universal presence to oppose, No obstacle by nature's hand impressed, thy subtle and ethereal beings arrest. Not swayed by matter is thy course benign, or more direct, or more oblique to shine. Nor motion's laws can speed thy active course, nor strong repulsion's powers obstruct thy force. Since there is no convexity in mind, why are thy genial rays to parts confined? While the chill north with thy bright beam is blessed, why should fell darkness half the south invest? Was it decreed, fair freedom, at thy birth that thou shouldst ne'er irradiate all the earth? While Britain basks in thy cool blaze of light, why lies sad Afric quenched in total night? And thou, great source of nature and of grace, who of one blood didst form the human race, look down in mercy in thy chosen time, with equal eye on Afric's suffering clime. Disperse her shades of intellectual night. Repeat thy high behest, let there be light. Bring each benighted soul, great God, to thee, and with thy wide salvation, make them free.
So back then she called upon God and she called upon a nation to change their hearts and to change their minds. She called upon them to see the inequality, to understand and know that God's good news is for all people at all times. And out of that was born a revolution and things were changed. Sometimes you can actually sit and you can feel hopeless, helpless, that there's nothing you can do. But I actually believe there's something that all of us can do, whether it's in our neighborhood, in our own family, in our community, and certainly within our church. God's good news is for every soul, for every person. I want to shift gears now, and I want to talk about your own heart. It's difficult in some ways for me to stand up here and talk about your own personal response to perhaps inequality and the sense of injustice that maybe you've even felt in your own life. It's difficult for me because I stand before you. I'm a white man. I mean, how privileged is that? Yet there are times, I think, where all of us have at some level suffered injustice and felt the sting of inequality and felt that things are just not fair. Perhaps you have felt that way. And that song, He's in the Waiting. He is in the waiting. What I believe that God wants for you and wants for me, in fact, He wants for all of us, is to live our lives with that sense of gratefulness for who He is and for how He has made you and for where He has placed you. Just stop for a moment and think about that. God has actually allowed you to be who you are. You are formed, you are made. Psalm 139 says that you are fearfully made. You've been placed in a certain family, in a certain environment, at a certain time. And it can be natural to actually rail against that and say, God, why am I like this? And why have you put me here? And how come I have to suffer all this stuff? And you read the book of Psalms and you'll read often the psalmist will rail against those sort of things because they're very deep-seated emotions that at times all of us have. This is unfair. And I actually think it's okay for a season to actually have that, to be honest before God about that. But I believe overwhelmingly the testimony of Scripture is the best place to live and the best heart and mind to be is one of intense gratitude toward God for how He has made you, for where He has placed you, despite the difficulties, despite the pain, despite the sickness, despite everything actually that's gone on in your life, to live your life with a sense of gratefulness, a sense of gratitude towards God. That's the best way to live. I was with my pastoral peer group the other day and we get together, we've been meeting together for over 20 years, there's five or six of us in a group. You think I could remember how many they are, we've been meeting together for 20 years, but we come together in our group and one of the guys shares a scripture to the group and he's been a pastor like me for a couple of decades and it's almost with tears welling in his eyes that he just starts to express. And he's been through a lot, this guy. He's been through sickness that almost took him out. He's been through ministry and church situations which have caused him and his wife and his family a great deal of stress. And then he read to us Psalm 16. And as he was reading this, it was almost like he said, you know what? But I am so grateful to God. He said, I deserve nothing. Everything good that I have has come from God. And I am so grateful. I deserve nothing. And yet God has given me so much. It would be easy for him, and he could so with, you know, no one's going to blame him for complaining and whinging about his life. But that he said, you know what, I want to live my life with just this sense of overwhelming gratitude, gratefulness toward God. And he read this psalm, a psalm of David, Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for I've come to you for refuge. I've said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. We just take a moment just to pause, you know, a Selah moment right here. If I was to ask you to write down on a piece of paper all the good things that God has given to you, just think now, what are the good things that God has given to you? How has he blessed you? I wonder how it would change your day as you set out for that next 24 hours. If you sat down in the morning and you wrote down with a deep sense of gratitude all the good things God has given to you, how would it change your day? I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing comes from you. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. The scripture goes on. Troubles multiply for those who chose after other gods. I will not take place in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. But listen to this in verse 5. Lord, you alone are my inheritance. You know that song we sang? My wealth is in the cross. My wealth is in the cross. Can we just think about that song for one moment? So very often when you are feeling like the world has ripped you off, when you are feeling like you're just not getting what you deserve, you're not getting what you deserve. Wow. Well, you're right. You're not getting what you deserve. None of us are getting what we deserve, are we? Wow. I'm not saying your problems aren't real. I'm not saying you don't have cause to have angst in your life. I'm not saying you don't even have cause to sometimes complain to God. Let's not be fake about our lives. But let's also take a moment just to stop and rest and think, you know what, God is good. And all the things that are really important, my wealth is in the cross. That's where my wealth is. It's in that sense and that knowledge of what Jesus has done for you. That's actually where you find true, oh, it's so hard. But it is where you find true satisfaction and true joy. And the things that are very deep that you really want that you haven't got, and they might even be really good things. Nonetheless, after you've had that season, take a moment to just stop and to say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. Dissatisfaction in our lives, a deep sense of dissatisfaction comes when we're not looking to Jesus. It comes when other things are taking the place of our Lord. That's when deep dissatisfaction comes. You alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you give me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. Because I've been talking a lot about your life and the time that is right now. But the truth is, the good news that Billy Graham talked about, the good news actually that we say, Not for one moment should we try to escape this earth, because we're in this season right now to enjoy it, to live it, to get the most out of it we can, and to bring the most people to heaven that we possibly can, to worship God with everything we have right now, to give back to Him right now. But let us not forget that in the back of our minds, in the back of our minds, this is not the full story. This is not the end of the story. And everything that you've experienced, every pain that you've had, every dissatisfaction, every sense of inequality that you've ever had, every injustice that you've ever experienced and that the world has ever experienced will one day be finished. The story will be done. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. So while we can live and we have a choice to make, in fact, you have a choice to make, you can live a life of deep dissatisfaction, or you can live a life of deep gratitude. The connection that Billy Graham talked about as he preached was one of knowing Jesus and knowing his voice. And some of you here this morning actually don't know what that actually means. You would say to me, if you are very, very honest, you know what? I haven't ever heard God's voice. And I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm not talking about a voice that comes through the PA. I'm talking about that deep sense in your heart that you've been led by the Holy Spirit of God. And I can only tell you that the way to experience God's voice, the way to know your God, the way to be part of his tribe is to take a step of faith towards Jesus. And this is what he says in the Gospel of John. John chapter 10, this is Jesus talking. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Now, if you are not yet one of Jesus' sheep, that statement may actually, Jesus knows you. He knows who you are. He knows your name. But you don't yet know him. And maybe you haven't taken a step towards him. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them in also. That I love this so much. They will listen to my voice. And there'll be one flock with one shepherd. You see, we've ended up where we started, haven't we? We've ended up where we started. There'll be one flock and there'll be one shepherd. And I made the joke about, you know, not being able to get on with other people of other races and other tongues and other tribes. But Revelation tells us that every tribe, every tongue, every nation will be in heaven. That is the true story. For you this morning, you know, just as the band is coming up and we're going to sing that song that we sung at the start of the service, maybe actually it's time for you to take a step of courage this morning. Maybe actually a step of courage towards Jesus. If you can't say to me that I know Jesus and I've heard his voice, maybe now the Holy Spirit is actually calling you. Can we stand to our feet? Can we all stand? Those of you that are believers here, can you just start just to pray right now for those people that aren't yet and haven't yet heard Jesus' voice? Will you start to pray right now that they will? And will you start to pray that they will actually take a step towards Jesus this morning? Those of you who have never heard Christ's voice for yourself, and you would say, you know what, I want to be part of that tribe. I want to be part of that group. I want to be part of that flock. Can we all bow our heads and close our eyes? I want you to imagine yourself just taking a step towards Jesus this morning. In your heart, with your body, just taking a step towards him now. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning that actually wants to physically take a step and walk down the front and have me pray for them this morning. I wonder if you'd say to me this morning, you know what, Mark? The Spirit of God is actually, I can feel Him in my heart and my soul burning within me. And I want to take a step towards Jesus this morning. If that's you, I'm actually going to invite you to actually come forward. You can come and you can sit down on the front row here. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray that indeed you will hear Jesus' voice for the very first time. For those of you who have been struggling with a sense of, you know, injustice, and you've been struggling to live a life where you just want to feel and know that God's gratitude in your life, you know, I actually want you to come forward too. I want you to come forward and just in this moment, just live a life. Give over that sense to God and come forward and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. We're going to sing together and I invite you to come forward. Dear Lord, I just want to pray for my friend. Why don't you pray a prayer, my brother? Why don't you pray something? You pray to God now. He's going to hear your voice.
Oh, Jesus, please let me join you. Stop searching for you. Please let me hear your voice.
Father, I pray for my brother now. Lord, he wants to hear your voice. He wants to know you are real. Lord, all the stuff that has happened to him in the past, Lord God, he's going to let that go right now, Jesus. You're going to forgive him. He's going to confess and is becoming one of your children right now. Lord, you know all his name. You know him. You know all the stuff that's been said about him and to him. You know all the pain that he's endured. But Lord, right now he's leaving that before you, Jesus. It's right down, it's on the throne. He's coming before you, Lord Jesus. He's hearing your voice. Speak to him now and encourage him, I pray, in Jesus' name. Come sit down, brother. Come sit down. Come sit down in the front. Just have a seat. I'm going to ask Kevin to come and have a chat with you and pray with you. Is that okay? You know Kevin? He's in your Bible study group on Saturday. He's going to come and have a chat with you now. Is that all right? Will you come and pray with Ollie? Just talk to him. He wants to talk to you.
Yeah, sure.
He's down the front. Just go sit next to him. Sit next to him and pray with him. Father, today is worth putting on for one brother that has come down the front and has confessed his need for you. And Lord, we are so grateful. Spirit of God, we pray that you will pour out on our brother now. He will know your presence, know you're with him. Brothers and sisters, my friends, I just really believe that there are some here today that just want to give up the pain. They want to give up the resentment. They want to give up living that way. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want you to, I'm not even going to look. I just want you to raise your hands. Just want you to raise your hands and say, Lord, just take this from me. This sense of injustice, this sense of things just not being fair. Lord, I don't want to live in that anymore. Instead, Lord, I want to live a life of gratitude, a life of thankfulness to my God. That's you this morning. Just raise your hands. Just raise your hands and just give that over to God this morning. Lord, for those people here that are raising their hands, Father God, I just want to pray that you'll take from them the pain and the anguish that the years have dealt upon them. Spirit of God, minister to them right now. Take away that pain. Take away that anguish, Lord God, and for the rest of their life, but especially right now, may they just have